Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey and Deb Evans Consulting. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jim. Hey, geeks, how are you? Today we're talking stories, Facebook, Instagram, and otherwise with my good friend Jim Buckley. What's happening, Mr. Buckley?
Another hot day in Florida today.
And a hot day.
Very hot.
And a hot day in Chicago, man. I am cranking out the AC. I think it might be 82 degrees out there, Jim.
Yeah. I'm not even gonna respond to that. It's way over 82 down here.
This is the time of year in June where we Chicagoans and folks from Wisconsin and Minnesota and all places like that, where we finally have our revenge on you Florida folk. So let us have this for like a month. So
I will let you at it for a month because we, of course, have 8 to 9 months. On the other side.
That's true. Let the northern dogs have their day or their month. Speaking of hot places, a quick note before we get into talking about stories today. I did want to mention that tomorrow, Wednesday, June 20th, at the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference in Atlanta, Buckhead to be specific, I'll be hosting a panel called Building Your Marketing Budget to Meet Customers' Changing Consumption. That's a mouthful. My panelists will be Terry Snyder, CMO of Checkers and Rallies. She is awesome. She was on the show a couple of weeks ago and really put out some awesome information about digital marketing and budgets and all kinds of great stuff. Also joining our panel will be my friend Sally Fasinelli of Silvercrest Advertising. So again, that'll be tomorrow, Wednesday, June 20th at the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference. If you're coming to the conference, be sure to come to our panel. It's at 3:00. So shameless plug there. And also one other shameless plug, Jim, you and I were talking about this recently. We'd really love to get some good reviews over on iTunes for Social Geek Radio. So if you're enjoying these conversations, please jump over to iTunes and give us a review and maybe tell a friend about us. Okay, let's talk stories. Jim, give us sort of an overview of what you see stories doing these days on Facebook and Instagram. And I'm not sure if you're too active on stories on Snapchat, but I see you on the other platforms. Where are we at with stories and kind of where did it all come from?
So I think the most fascinating part for me is I think this solves for a major issue that a lot of people had, which was oversharing, right? So one of the challenges is if I see somebody who's throwing, you know, 20, 30, 40 posts a day, you can get away with that on Twitter, right? Because there's interactivity and it's a broader medium. But if you're posting 8 or 10 things to your Instagram feed, for example, it makes it very difficult, right? The just the sheer physical volume of content. And so one of the parts that's been fascinating for me, both, and this is in terms of individual people, some of the people we talked about who are really good at it are people like Ted Rubin and Brian Fanzo, but there's also an opportunity here for brands. And so one of the things that I've seen executed on incredibly well is actually in the restaurant business, because one of the things about this is that it provides people an opportunity. And I'm sure we'll have another conversation at some point on one of these shows about the benefits of live video. But one of the things about stories is it requires you to be succinct, right? You've got a finite period of time to put up a piece of content, whether it's a photograph or some sort of a video. And so one of the exciting parts that kind of drew me to look at this was several high-end restaurant clients that we've done work for in the last few years have looked at it and said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to use this to introduce our chef or talk about our nightly specials. And then what they've got then is a pool of content, right? A pool of material from which to say, okay, I've got it up. We'll use Instagram stories as an example. I've got it up on Instagram and now I can look through there. And now I can say, hey, I want to save this to my, you know, I want to save it and post it later on. Like we had a great picture, for instance, of a swordfish meal that was really great. So I know that, you know, that visual content is important to me. So it allows people, I think, to do a couple of things. One is an ongoing engagement, right? And we'll talk about a little more about that in a few minutes. But the other piece of it is it gives you the ability, at least from where I'm coming from on Instagram, to be able to collect the information and then use Instagram, that really kind of the highlight post of the day, to either say, hey, I'm going to make a collage out of this, because as you know, you and I are mm-hmm. both fans of, like, hey, here's four pictures from the day that were cool, right?
Right.
Which usually involve my socks in some way, shape, or form, right?
and it usually involves me mocking you or trying to copy you in some way.
Which is fine. And by the way, the Johnny Cash Black Sox thing was just brilliant, but that's a story for another day. So, but to me, right, I mean, part of the challenge of creating great content is finding that flow of content that over the course of the day, you'll catch something. And now I've got the ability to capture that and capture it with filters, capture an audio clip or something like that. So I'm not doing it directly. I have an iPhone. So directly to my iPhone and having it exceed the time limit, for instance.
Yeah.
So you're able to create finite content. And then secondarily, the other part of it is that there are people who will basically, there's an option in Instagram where you can say play all, and you can sit there for 20 or 30 minutes and watch people's stories.
Right.
And I think, you know, the part that has fascinated me in conversations with real practitioners is people are fascinated with what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. And so from a business perspective, it's enormously valuable.
Yeah. That your second point is spot on about people just letting it play and seeing what's on there, and whatever's coming up next, they're going to watch it. They're not even selecting which people or brands they're watching the Instagram stories from. They're just letting it come at. I mean, this is like, you know, going back 30 years to television. I'm just going to watch whatever pops up. It's really kind of turning in, for me anyway, it's turning into a news feed for lazy people. And it's like, come on, brands, we live in a world of lazy people who they're just going to sit back and say, hit me with your story. So I guess my question is, why aren't more brands doing stories on Facebook and Instagram right now? I mean, I just don't see the volume there yet that I thought we would be at in June of 2018.
No. So there were two challenges. I think one challenge has already been overcome, and you've probably seen this just in the last, I don't know exactly when they rolled it out, but I think it was like a week to 10 days ago, where now you post to Instagram, and then over the course of 24 hours, you can at any time hit the Facebook button and it'll automatically post to Facebook stories. That was fantastic when they mm-hmm. made that change, because mm-hmm. it was really difficult, right? You had to save it to your, you know, basically save it to your camera roll, then move it over to, then go to Facebook and post it over there. So by solving that particular problem, they've removed, I think, the last excuse. I think part of it is that people are afraid, brands and businesses are afraid to experiment,
yeah.
right? They're afraid that if I don't have, you know, a high level of production quality, they watch, you know, Food Network, and they watch, you know, one of these high-end chefs who does this and go, oh my gosh, look at all the production value, right? But Jeff Zakarian, who I happen to follow, all right, on Instagram, does an awesome job on his stories, and he does it with his phone. So he may be filming one of his television shows, but now he's got this backstage view. And I think that's the real advantage.
Yep.
Is that, especially regardless of what business you're in, I happen to be talking a bit about restaurants here, but, you know, if you're able to show folks, hey, here's what our special looks like, here's, you know, the ingredients that went into this, here's how we made this. Individuals have been doing this all along. I mean, I did it the other night, right? My wife and I love roasted veg. So I've got my roasted veg recipe right there on my Instagram story, right? There's no reason that a brand doesn't want to do that. So I think, to answer your question quite directly, I think it's a factor of, hey, I'm not entirely certain whether I want to take this risk that somebody's going to look at this and go, hey, I didn't like this Instagram story, so I'm not going to eat there.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, taking a chance and engaging with people in a broader way is super valuable and is worth the risk every single time.
And the only risk is that you spent some time on it and it didn't work. Unless you're doing something really controversial or putting something up there that could be deemed inappropriate, there's no risk in the content. And there's also absolutely no risk in the budget, because right now we're just talking about the organic side of stories on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. We're not even talking about the ads yet. So get started before the world gets flooded with stories, right? So get started with doing some stories. You don't have to put any money behind it. See if it fits your brand. See if it fits your customer's lifestyle. I'm going to guess that it will, because they're already there. And then if it's working, I think the next step is going to be, okay, at some point, all of this organic story stuff is going to get throttled back, just like Facebook newsfeed a few years ago. And now we're going to have to put some ad dollars behind it, which a lot of brands already are. And they're doing some pretty cool stuff there. I don't really know what the costs look like yet, but it can't be too wildly expensive, but you're going to get a lot of eyeballs. Simply, like you said, Jim, there's a lot of people who are just letting the stories play, and you're going to capture those eyeballs just for the cost of being there. So I guess my advice to any marketer on this subject, and then we'll get into some more detail, but just from the start, get out there and try it and experiment and see if something works. There's not that many brands out there, so you're really going to stand out right now. And I think a year from now, we'll be sitting here with, you know, everybody, you know, already doing it, and it could get pretty easy to get lost in the shuffle. Do you think this is a short-term play, or you think this is a long-term play, specifically with Facebook? Do you see this as the future, or is this something that's kind of filling a need for Facebook users right now?
No, I think it's a long-term thing. I mean, I look at my own experience, and obviously I don't have a ton of followers, right? I've got like 700 people who follow me on Instagram, but it's not uncommon. Like, I put a picture of my socks up on my way to O'Hare last Friday. I marked it with Oak Brook, Illinois, because obviously you can put a geo marker in there. Mm-hmm. And I had like 85 people look at a picture of my socks.
Yeah.
now, right now, to your point, okay, the big thing for me is that you can really kill this off quickly if you just use this to sell people stuff, right?
Yeah.
If your whole goal of putting content on this or any platform for that matter is just to create a transaction, well, you know, good luck with that, right? Yeah. I mean, that's not going to work. But I think if you're engaging in this in a way that says, hey, I'm gonna put out content, you know, I'm going to put out material that isn't necessarily available to the general public around my business and about what I do and how I do it. You know, there's plenty of opportunity for this. In fact, one of the gals that I know here locally in Sarasota, they just finished just 2 years worth of construction, right, to build this multi-million dollar house. But she did a walkthrough yesterday on Instagram stories. Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
I mean, the... So it lasted for, it was probably 4 minutes long, 5 minutes long. If it was a raw video, I probably wouldn't have watched it.
Yeah.
But an Instagram story, right, where I can, it's broken up into individual pieces. She's got the ability to comment on each one of those sections, right? And then secondarily, she's got the ability to, somebody loses interest halfway through, they can bail.
Right.
Right? And you're not being penalized. So I think, to go back to the original question, I think this is a long-term thing. And I think you mentioned Snapchat at the onset, right? I think we've even seen in the last 2 years, the kind of, for lack of a better description, the epic evolution of this kind of tech, right? What began as, hey, here's a way for you to trade photographs that disappear, now has turned into, let me tell you a story about my day. And then if you want to see my day just by itself, look at what I posted on Facebook or on Instagram, right?
Right.
And I think that's going to be valuable, Jack. I think that's valuable long-term. I think how we tell the stories, you know, and obviously Facebook is working their fannies off on the advertising side, to make this happen with their new ad campaign, but to get people back to the original intent for Facebook, which is, hey, this is about community and it's about connecting each other. Now, are they going to stop marketing to us? Well, of course not. But I think this matches that, which is creating a real community around your content about people who go to, you know, they go to Instagram. And believe me, for any of you who are listening who think, oh, yeah, nobody uses Instagram. Oh, trust me.
Yeah.
I mean, this is basically, and I know you are the same way I am, Jack. I mean, I may still be laying on my back in bed at 4 o'clock in the morning at my phone's in my hand. Right. And I'm looking at my Instagram feed or I'm checking my email or I'm looking at Facebook. Right. That's kind of how everybody starts their day. And I think the sooner brands start to understand that there's a passive opportunity for you, and you hit the nail on the head too, in terms of cost. I mean, you can have an employee or two do this, right? This is not something where you as the business owner necessarily need to figure it all out. One of my clients is a restaurant in Washington State, and they trade it amongst the team. So they may have a bartender. Like the other day, they did a time lapse of the fastest bartender in the West, right? So they had one of the gals that works there put that on the internet, right? She put it up on their Instagram feed. So, you know, getting in and working with, you know, the UGC or the user generated content that's available within your own business, I think that part of it is super valuable too. But passing up on this opportunity at this point is foolish.
Yeah, I think the one thing we can guarantee is that if you don't get involved with stories now, a year from now, or maybe it's a year and a half from now, you're going to be kicking yourself saying, wow, remember back when you could get all of those eyeballs for free? You know, it's the same thing we say about the news feed now. It's like, wow, if I could go back 5 years and yeah, you know, tell every story I could before we had to start paying a lot of money for it. I think we're good with everybody getting in as soon as possible on the organic stuff. The advertising side is interesting. Snapchat is doing some commerce in the stories now. We saw something on that earlier today. And it just feels like the right place to have a transaction, if it's a transaction that fits the story and fits the lifestyle and all that kind of stuff. I think it's a smart way to make the cash register ring without having to send someone to some corporate website where then they have to go buy something. You know, if you can do it inside of that story, or, you know, they swipe up or whatever the direction is today, just swipe up and then they can, you know, buy the sneakers or buy the clothes that were in the story or whatever. It's just going to save some time and maybe that's the future of Snapchat, is some sort of commerce from the user generated content.
I think here's what I would say. I think a couple of interesting things happened today, and I think you and I traded notes about this earlier in the day, was that you know, you had they released the new stock price for Twitter today, right? And all of a sudden it's up significantly. And mm-hmm. So the death of Twitter, right, is once again prematurely reported. For the 100th time. I think the same thing goes for Snapchat. I mean, these are not, and not to be facetious here, but these are not stupid people. I mean, no. The people who came up with these platforms, who are running these platforms, who are innovating as fast as they can, they're not dumb. And so I think as you talk about, as we as practitioners, right, are looking for, hey, different ways that we can take advantage of these platforms, understand that the people who are actually developing the platforms are thinking, you know, 2, 3, 4 cycles out in front of you. That's exciting. That's why I think some of these platforms are so fabulous. And so to your point, right, about being able to swipe up, today you have to have 10,000 followers to be able to have the swipe up tech available to you in Instagram. Mm-hmm. That's the way the rules work, okay? But what it does, from my perspective, and I think from a lot of practitioners' perspective, is it incents you to create great content. Because if you create great content, over time, the audience will eventually follow. And so then you can, if you want to turn it into a commerce platform, you can do that. But I think for me, the most powerful part of all of these platforms is I create a connection with somebody. And obviously we've talked about this before. I'm a humongous Gary Vaynerchuk fan. And that's the basis of this premise, which is I'm going to give. I'm going to continue to give you great ideas and great content and material. It's going to, you know, really fundamentally in my world, help you be successful with your business. And then by the time it's time for me to ask for something, that's an easy thing to do. And certainly any business can engage in that. I don't care if you're a real estate agent or you're selling cars or you're a restaurant or whatever you're doing, right? If you're providing value for the consumer in advance of a transaction, they will not forget that in a world where everybody's asking for something.
So to put this back in the Gary V language, we could do a lot of, or brands could do a lot of jabbing on stories on Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram. And then someday the right hook's going to come. But for right now, it's another pretty easy, pretty inexpensive place to do a lot of jabbing and giving, right?
Right. No, I totally agree with that. And I think that's the other piece of it. Now, there are plenty of things that we've seen tried. Like one of the most clever is a restaurant in New Jersey, on the Jersey Shore, actually. And what he did was he attached an offer to his Instagram story. Mm-hmm. So if you came in and showed a screenshot of you looking at the Instagram story, right, he'll give you a 10% discount on your ticket. Now, that's a business choice he makes to try to drive additional traffic.
Yeah.
From my perspective, that's a right hook that ties you directly to the content,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting approach. Works great for him because it fits his business model. May not fit for everybody. But right. At the end of the day, you know, I think the more you're engaged with your audience over an extended period of time, the more successful you're going to be. And stories on all of these platforms, whatever platform you decide to use. I happen to be a fan of Instagram first, followed by Facebook. And then I'm as you alluded to at the onset, I'm a relatively light user of Snapchat. I have not done what a number of my friends have done, which is, you know, publicly delete Snapchat from their phone. You know,
look, everyone, I'm not playing anymore. Yeah. I'm taking
exactly.
Going home.
Right. I haven't gone quite that far because obviously as someone who has responsibility to know what's going on in this space, you know, I'm still kind of keeping an eye on it. But I think in long and short of it is if you're ignoring it because you think it's either A, going to go away, or B, you can't see how it's going to impact your business, I think that you're not seeing the entire playing field as you should.
Yeah, you want to be right more than you want to be successful. And I don't have a whole lot of tolerance for that these days. One final thought that I'd throw out there too, you mentioned the different platforms, all the stories. When you're experimenting, try some of the same stuff and put it on all three of those story platforms and see what kind of response you get. Maybe you'll find out, hey, I've got a lot more engaging customers on Instagram than I do anywhere else. I thought it would have been somewhere else, but you know what? I'm wrong. The customers are right. So I've been doing that a bit actually with the Social Geek profiles and pages and stories as well. Put some of the same stuff on Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and just see what happens. You know, your customers will tell you if you're doing the right thing and if they're interested in seeing your stuff on any of those and then maybe, you know, follow that through afterwards. But experimenting is the key. Jim, we've got just a couple of minutes left. Anything else that we should be thinking about when it comes to stories outside of experimenting and just getting involved?
No, I think those are the two important factors. And it's one of those cases where, you know, you alluded to it a few minutes ago. I think one of the most exciting parts of it is that there really isn't, there's not this massive penalty for error, right?
Yeah.
People expect things to be really experimental and experiential on stories. And so it has become a place where you can test messaging. And I love the example you gave, which is, run it on all the platforms and look at the engagement. But I think at the end of the day, the one piece of advice I'd give everybody listening is, if you haven't done this, it's worth the time. It's worth the time and the effort to begin to explore, you know, how this kind of direct engagement with people and sharing more about who and what you are can really benefit your business long term.
Love it. All right, sir. Very well said. Thank you so much for joining us again this week on Social Geek Radio, everyone. Jim, I will talk to you next week. And everyone else, have a great night.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.